Welcome back to the Wheeler Center podcast. In today's episode, it's part three of Housekeeping, a five-part mini-series on Australian democracy from journalist Jani Blakali and the Wheeler Center.
When it comes to voting in Australia, you have two options: show up and vote or pay a fine. That fine starts at $20, but if you have to go to court, it could turn into a $180 fine. Now, there are a number of reasons why people argue that compulsory voting is good for democracy. The threat of a fine reminds the forgetful, motivates the unmotivated, and ensures that everyone comes out to participate in the direction of a state or country. Plus, it's true that in countries like the US, where voting isn't compulsory, it's mostly poor people and racial minorities who don't get a say. However, there are some people in Australia who just don't vote. Of course, there are those who forget to register or don't bother showing up. But there are also those who don't vote out of principle. And of those people, some have gone to extraordinary lengths to defend their right not to cast a ballot. In this episode of Housekeeping, we're going to meet some of them.
Housekeeping, a short series about Australian democracy beyond the ballot box from the Wheeler Centre.
My name is Michael Mansell. I'm 64 years old. I normally work as a lawyer. I'm an Aboriginal, and I'm also Secretary of the Aboriginal Provisional Government. I did vote when I became 18, and from memory, I probably voted till I was in my early 20s before I began talking to Aboriginal people about Aboriginal sovereignty, our nationhood.
Michael Mansell is a well-known Indigenous sovereignty activist. In the late 80s, he led a delegation to Libya and tried to establish formal diplomatic links between his Aboriginal Provisional Government and the government of Muammar Gaddafi. Michael is also a staunch defender of Indigenous people's right to be exempt from compulsory voting.
It was only in the early 1960s that Aboriginal people all around the country had the right to vote. But then the question is, does the right to vote of a people who are from a different nation mean they have to vote? Or should it be the case that the Australian government should give people from another nation an option of whether they would like to vote?
30-odd years ago, Michael became outraged that Indigenous people were being fined for not voting. He wanted to challenge the law. He made it very public that he didn't vote himself, and he was charged. He took the case to court, arguing that Australia's compulsory voting laws didn't apply to Aboriginal people, and he lost. The magistrate said that if he didn't pay the $25 fine, he would face a short stint in prison. Michael was adamant he wasn't going to pay. He was ready to go to jail. But then,
as it turned out, some wag who was not a supporter and who didn't agree with the debate went and paid the fine for me. And I don't know who the person was, but the person said they didn't want me to get any more publicity on the point. And since then, I've never voted and I've never been prosecuted.
In Michael's opinion, Indigenous claims to sovereignty are made weaker if Aboriginal people are forced to vote by the Australian government.
If you genuinely believe that you are part of an Aboriginal nation, and you genuinely believe that we are being treated badly, and by negotiating, by consulting, nothing happens, then sometimes you've got to go to extremes, and that is, you know, making a strong protest either in the courts or outside the courts, and if necessary, going to jail as a result. And that's, at least then, you can say you stood on your principles.
Michael is frustrated that Aboriginal people don't hear the counter-arguments. In other words, they aren't encouraged to question compulsory voting. Ultimately, that's true for everyone. The option of not voting isn't really discussed, because legally, it isn't an option. Case in point, I have to be careful with my words here, because it's even illegal to encourage other people not to vote. And while in the past people have chosen not to enrol in the first place to avoid being fined, new laws mean the Australian Electoral Commission can now automatically enrol you. They don't even have to ask you. They can just use information that you've provided to other government agencies like Centrelink or Medicare. For Richard, abstaining from voting isn't a political gesture. In fact, that's exactly the kind of thing he's specifically trying to avoid.
No, I don't. I don't vote. It's a no at all.
He's 24 years old and has never been enrolled to vote, meaning he's one of the hundreds of thousands of young people missing from the electoral roll that we always hear so much about. But it's not that Richard's politically disillusioned or just lazy. Richard's an economist. He's often contracted to do economic modelling on state and federal government policies, and that's why he doesn't vote. For the first election after he turned 18, Richard simply forgot to enrol. But it was the election time behaviour of his economics classmates at uni that made him think more deliberately about voting.
So I ended up being at university, being one of the few people who didn't vote, around a whole bunch of other people who did. And it was interesting watching how those people's perceptions of their policy, because they're all studying economics, right, on how it changed after they voted. They became biased towards their own voting perspectives, yeah. Which, if you're trying to write policy, you're meant to be as unbiased as possible, right? So it ends up skewing what you're meant to be doing.
While economics may be a field wound up in politics, surely abstaining from voting doesn't mean we don't have opinions or that we don't want to be right. Whether they vote or not, economists are people like the rest of us, with opinions and biases. So why not just vote?
They're off.
Once you pick the horse to back, yeah, in this scenario, then you end up trying to prove that you're right over the next 3 years, that you picked the right horse, and that's the bias which we're concerned of.
Incidentally, I quickly found that Richard is biased towards sporting analogies.
So even at the international level where you got like Australia and England playing cricket against each other, you end up having Sri Lankan or Indian or some sort of other countries referees being played because it means they don't have the biases. Same things happen in tennis, same things happens in football, happens everywhere.
To be clear though, Richard hasn't completely foregone voting. He voted at his student union's elections. It's only state and federal elections that directly concern his job.
Do you believe in complete objectivity?
I think it's very hard to get to, but I do try my best, if that makes sense. Yeah? It's not possible fully, but I do put my best effort in.
Joe Toscano is another person who doesn't vote. Joe is an anarchist. Although, there's one thing that really annoys him. The traditional anarchist philosophy of trying to bring down systems of government from the outside.
Totally unrealistic. 100% unrealistic. You look at the, anarchos, it just means without rulers. That's the only thing the anarchists have in common. They believe in creating a society without rulers. That's what we have in common. Regarding strategies, you know, the anarchist movement has used specific strategies for over 126 years in Australia, with no significant results.
Joe believes in democracy, just not parliamentary democracy. Instead, he's a believer in direct democracy. He wants citizens to be able to initiate their own referendums. He wants politicians to be able to be recalled between elections if their constituents aren't happy. He wants more engagement, not less.
We have a 21st century society with 21st century needs and 21st century desires and expectations using a 19th century concept of democracy.
Joe doesn't vote himself, but to highlight what he says are the inadequacies of our democracy, he runs in elections. A lot of them. He stood as a candidate in every state and federal election since 1988. He says he wants people who do vote to have the chance to vote for systematic reform. At the last federal election, Joe Toscano received 1,600 votes in the Senate, half of 0.1% of the vote. But he says it's not about the numbers of votes he gets, because it's not about winning. It's about giving people a choice. I mean, he doesn't even vote for himself. At the moment, Joe is in the middle of a long court battle against the Australian Electoral Commission in a bid to have compulsory voting ruled unconstitutional. He says compulsory voting hides the fact that most people are disengaged from politics.
If you remove compulsory voting and less than 50% of people vote, then you have a real problem in terms of legitimacy for the government of the day. And the fewer people who vote, the greater the problem and the greater the push for reform.
Joe acknowledges that without compulsory voting, engagement might go down. But on the other hand, he argues that the alternative would make people think more about what kind of system they wanted to genuinely engage with.
I mean, it's a little bit like being at school and the teacher says, you must do this homework or you will get detention. You will do the homework once to avoid the detention, but you're not going to retain anything that you did.
In the next episode of Housekeeping, we look at what happens after your vote goes in the ballot box and ask how a box of votes could go missing.
Thanks for listening to the Wheeler Centre podcast. Don't forget to visit wheelercentre.com for the best in books, writing and ideas from Melbourne, Australia and the world.